The format of this meeting is two 10-minute speakers followed by our information break, and then our main speaker, who will speak for 30 minutes. Our first 10-minute speaker is Amanda.
Hi, everyone. I'm Amanda, and I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is May 24th, 2004. My sponsor is Elaine. Oh, today is my anniversary. It's 12 years. I have Permigrin, the kind we used to get when we were out there. Now it's a natural high. It's the AG high. I'm so nervous, but I'm just gonna allow it because I'm just looking at all of these faces and I'm just blown away. I think it's Lorna who said that AA is the only evidence of, true evidence of divine intervention. And for anybody who's even struggling of what a higher power is, just look around at these eyes and these miracles, you know? How we see somebody come in and just a week or two later, everything softens and the eyes open and the lights come on and we're alive. You know, no matter what your story is, whether you're a high bottom or a low bottom, whether the darkness is just here or it's on the outside, you know, we're so lucky. And I really am grateful and I just, this was my home group for 5 years. It taught me everything I know. I have such good training, you know, that's what I say. I got Atlanta group training. It's like, it's the best, you know. And I walked in here and the welcome that I got, I know so many people. I've been through so much in 12 years. Everything, thank you. Everything that I learned, everything that I wanted when I was out there drinking and jugging and doing everything to escape was just to connect with other people. I wanted so badly to be understood. Everything. And now here we are, and I get that. Everything that I looked for out there is right here in these rooms. And I know it's difficult to get sober. And I sat back there in the very last row and my arms crossed, and my, I'll show you, and what is this gratitude stuff, and I just, I hated everybody, and I just, oh, I was so rebellious, and then I was going to leave. It was like my second meeting I ever went to, and I was ready to run out, and Heidi, everybody knows Heidi, she and my first sponsor grabbed onto me. Where are you going? I'm going home. I got to go home. I got stuff to do. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You got to catch up on some worrying? I was like, oh my God. So we went to the diner and had coffee and they bought me dinner. And I found out that their stories were so much like my stories. And I came back, you know, one day. Look at all of these beautiful people that I know. I'm so, so overwhelmed. I can't help it. I'm not even gonna pretend that. Like, I seriously am enthusiastic, and that is just my genuine state of sobriety, you know? I am grateful. I'm not fake about it. I just can't help it, and I own it. I own it. I am sober, and I am so happy, and I got to live two lives. Yes, there were fun times. There was some, I love to party. I love to dance and drink and trip and have eating disorders and be a mess. Anything, give me anything. I was addicted to lettuce for like a week. I've been tanorexic. Oh, you know, and now I get to live this life, you know, and 12 years of this life and so many changes. And I had a difficult, so lucky, my moms, I call them my moms in the program, my mom's partners in the program, so I got two Jewish moms, not just one, two super sober Jewish moms, I love them. We had a very difficult conversation the other day, and my mom sent me an email, and she said, I can't believe how she say? How poised and how confident and how graceful you've become. And I'm so proud of you because I was able to have a conversation, a difficult conversation with my mom, an honest one. You know, we learn when we do our fifth steps that we're unable to form a true partnership with another human being, right? We're incapable of intimacy. Our default is to run. Now I know when to run when something's dysfunctional, right? When something's toxic and someone's not serving me. And now I know when I can stand up in front of a person and tell them how I feel, and I'm not gonna die, you know? That's how much I hate confrontation or possibility of being rejected or whatever, you know? And I'm talking about these little things because there's so much I could talk about, but this year for me has been about the imperceptible changes. That's what my sponsor points out. Not the ones that are on the outside, but the ones that almost nobody can see but me. And then when I report, I tell her, Elaine, I got good news to report, you know? And I know now how, and I'm telling you this as somebody with 12 years, I can tell you so many stories about going to sober camp and all of the delicious things I've done in sobriety, and how I'm now, I never talk about this, but I feel for somebody it could be important. That for 6 years, you know, I was just a regular corporate person, and I finally left the corporate world to pursue my dreams as an actor. And nobody even knew I was one, you know, but I'm able to do that now only because I'm sober. And it's not perfect, but every day is such an incredible adventure. And, you know, when I first spoke here 10 years ago, I had a gig, a pad, and a babe, okay? I owned an apartment. I had an amazing job. And I was living with my boyfriend and we were engaged. I have none of that, and I'm happier than ever. So it's not about that, you know? It's about the inside job, you know? And how we just get to be sober, we get to be of service. I have, you know, beautiful relationships with people. I get to serve not only in my career, but my side business as well, where I get to serve. And I get to I don't know. It's hard sometimes, you know? I mean, there are days that I like went dark for a day last week. I literally like shut the world out and put the covers over my head and hid for like a couple of hours, you know? Longer than that, honestly. Like, it was like a whole day. Now, I had quit smoking, so that was like a whole nother thing. I started smoking again, you know, for like a year, and then I quit. And so, you know, anyway, a whole nother story. I'm not perfect. We're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect, you know. And thank God, you know, I started smoking because my father died and because I broke up with my boyfriend broke up with me, and I just needed to hide. I always feel, even in sobriety, thank you, like I'm this stuffed animal, and like as soon as I push, like, oh, I push, okay, good, I got the sobriety down, and then boom, the food comes out, you know, and then I got like this, you know, and now I'm just learning how to be present with myself and just how to be enough and how to just be grateful for every day I have alive and every opportunity I have to help another alcoholic. And I am so grateful to have spoken today and for Judy for asking me, and love you guys.
Our second 10-minute speaker is Neil.
Wow, hi, I am an alcoholic named Neil. At the Atlanta Group, here I am, right? It's my job to get up here and in a general way tell you guys what it was like, what happened, what it's like now, right? If nothing else, know that my sobriety date is October 28, 2010. Know that I have worked the 12 steps with a sponsor. I'm currently in the process of working the steps again with a new sponsor. I just moved here in January. And as a result of working those 12 steps, and along with having a home group that I call the Atlanta Group now, I've had a spiritual awakening. I've had a complete transformation of mind. And when I walked in and you talked about comfortable or happy and sober, that was like the farthest thing away from what I wanted, what I thought was possible, what I thought was offered here. I came in completely, it talks about in the book, incomprehensible demoralization, right? And fortunate enough for me, you people showed up. And despite me coming in with all this resentment, all this stuff blocking me from the sunlight of the Spirit, what does that even mean, you know? I had people sit down and talk to me about what it was that you guys offered here. And the narrative that was supplied for me, through coming back, despite what I thought, just that gift of desperation, against all odds, just showing up regardless, because quite honestly, in 2010, October 28th, I had nowhere else to go. It was crazy. Today, I got a haircut before I came here, what? Hygiene wasn't even a thing that I did for years. And the fact that I'm like, me and my sponsor have been going back and forth about putting a suit on, me being new to this group and whatever else, but the fact that I can get up here and I can put a suit on today, the fact that despite all the nervousness in the world that I have to be in front of all of you people, to get up and not let fear dictate my action today, the 12th step, complete change of mind, a psychic change. I walked in, and I was wearing a sleeveless band tee that had Morbid Angel was the band. If anybody's familiar with death metal, I had the definition of a heretic on the back of my shirt. Like, that's the kind of kid I was. A mother who couldn't look at her son anymore without crying. A father who was ready to kill me every time he saw me. Two younger sisters that were afraid of me. And again, that gift of desperation, not knowing where to go and what to do. So I came to you people. It wasn't my idea. It was not my idea, but somebody said, hey, try AA. So I showed up. And again, it was a whirlwind of emotion. It was a whirlwind of a bunch of different stuff, of not knowing whether I wanted this, if you people had anything I wanted. You were talking about a day at a time, but I knew you were talking about stopping drinking forever, right? And I was like, really? I was 19 years old, and I didn't know that I wanted that. But at the same time, again, you people showed up and you were equipped with the facts. You were walking, talking big books. I wasn't ready to look at the steps. I wasn't ready to look at the big book and look at this stuff written in 39 that was just like way beyond me. I was looking at you people. I needed examples of what this stuff looked like in action, and I got that. And it was, again, it was October 28th, 2010, in Baltimore, Maryland. And these guys, they knew what they were talking about. And they talked to me about powerlessness and lack of control and no mental defense. And they talked to me about insanity and soundness of mind. And they talked to me about making a decision to turn my thoughts and my actions over to something that wasn't my own. It didn't have to be a specific God, thank you. It didn't have to be a higher power of my own understanding. And the way that when I eventually mustered up the courage to ask a sponsor to take me through the steps, the way he described it to me, he said, look at the power of the people in the room. I mean, look in here right now at all you people staring at me. Like, this is crazy. But look at the power, like you talked about, right? The power in this room is phenomenal. It's when I moved here from Baltimore and I came in and holy smoke. It was attractive. I wanted what you people had, and that's what happened. I worked with this sponsor. He said, yeah, but look at all the people who are comfortably sober, who are happy and sober, who have found a solution to life, a design for living. And I said, I want that. And he said, are you willing to give it a try? All you need is a little bit of willingness. Talking about the third step. Had no idea that was even a reference to the third step. You know? And sure enough, I said, yeah, man, let's give it a shot. You know? And from there, we set up, and I did a thorough and fearless moral inventory. And I got to look at myself, and more importantly, I knew that I was carrying all this stuff with me. I knew of my insecurities, my fear, my resentments, the different baggage I'd been carrying for years. What I got to do is I got to be honest for probably the first time in my entire life with another grown man and have him not judge me, quite the opposite, despite all of the different things that I thought would happen as a result. Have this man say to me, it's okay, dude, I've been there, I get it. And guess what? You don't have to live that way anymore. I don't. Look at me. Look at you, right? The power of example. And from there, I kept chipping away, showing up and showing up and showing up, despite, working at young, and all I could get was a job at Taco Bell, and it was insane. But I just completely I didn't have any answers, and I looked to you people for all of them, because what happened is, as I started going along this thing, I started getting results, and those 9-step promises eventually became true, and I intuitively knew how to handle situations that used to baffle me. And all of this stuff started, just like all this stuff of the obsession of mind, it was leaving me. And it didn't happen overnight, and quite honestly, I didn't even know how it happened or when it happened, but it happened. To the point where I'm hanging out with these guys that are now my brothers. A brotherhood sprung up around me. It talks about that in our literature. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, holy, I'm free. I'm free right now. And that to me was a foreign concept. And I remember asking that man to sponsor me, and I said, he said, if you want what I have, you'll do what I do. He was talking about action, action, action. I got a sponsor now, Abe, who is just very, very, very adamant about action, 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 which is exactly what I need. Sure enough, I took this action, and then all of a sudden I've got guys coming up to me saying, hey, I want what you want. And I'm like, what? You know what? You want what I want? You want what I have? That's insane. And sure enough, I get to say to them, you want what I have, you'll do what I do. Work these 12 steps, watch a miracle happen in front of your own eyes, you know. And then to give, back home, it is so different. It is so different from just New York City in general. But me and a buddy of mine, we got sober together, and we started our own home group. And back home, we have one meeting for that home group a week. And, walk in, and Peggy gave me, I remember I happened to walk into the Wednesday night meeting, and she says, oh, welcome. We have, seven meetings a day, or seven meetings a week. And I'm like, what? this is insane. But, what a blessing. What a blessing, because I get to show up here, and I'm a newcomer all over again. And it's scary. It's really scary. But again, fear does not dictate my feet today. I get to walk in, thank you, and I get to let you people help me, and it is so powerful. I'm forever grateful. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I owe my life to it. That same mother, very similar to how Amanda was. I get to have conversations with her where she says, I'm proud of you. My father, he doesn't want to kill me anymore. It's great. those sisters, it's funny, one of my sisters, when she's going through stuff, I'm the first person she calls because of what I learned from you people. I once heard a woman at one of an anniversary meeting at my old home group, and the woman, the mother said, as her son was celebrating, she said, Alcoholics Anonymous, if they work these 12 steps and have this spiritual awakening you talk about, they're like the ideal human. Like, why don't all people get to do this? And I'm just so grateful that I went through all the stuff that I went through in order to get right here, right now. Forever grateful. Thanks for having me.